وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor you in this world and in the year after. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your services for his beautiful deen. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبشر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أن لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's our leader and master, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's final messenger and the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, continuing with the ayats in Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives glad tidings to the believers, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ and convey glad tidings to those who believe and do good deeds, that theirs shall be gardens beneath which rivers flow. Whenever they are given any fruit as sustenance therein, they say, this is what we were fed with before. They are given fruit of the same resemblance. Therein they shall have purified spouses, and they will abide therein forever. What a beautiful description of Jannah in the Noble Quran. Now, the glad tidings of heaven, of Jannah for the believers, the first bounty mentioned in this verse is that the believers, the mu'mineen, will abide in amazing gardens called heaven Jannah. There will be magnificent homes there, as mentioned in Surah Saf, where Allah Ta'ala says, and palatial homes in the everlasting heavenly abode. Allah mentions that rivers will be flowing beneath these gardens. Surah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that there will be rivers of pure water that will never spoil, rivers of milk that will never turn sour, rivers of wine that will be extremely tasty, and rivers of pure honey. The wine of heaven, of Jannah, will be for pleasure, but will neither intoxicate nor cause headaches, as mentioned in Surah Safat, in Surah Waqiyah. لَزَّةً لِلشَّارِبِينَ The second bounty mentioned concerns the delightful fruits of Jannah that they will be offered. When the fruit is given to them, they will say, this is what we were fed with before. They will say this because they will be given fruit of the same resemblance, although the taste will be different. So some commentators have interpreted this is what we were fed with before to refers to what was eaten in this world. Other commentators say that it refers to other fruits that were previously given to them in Jannah. Allama Baydawi rahmatullah alayhi says that the first interpretation is better, meaning that the fruits in heaven Jannah will resemble the fruits of this world. Allama Nasafi rahmatullah alayhi says that the verse refers to both the fruits of this world as well as those of the hereafter. The fruits of Jannah will resemble those of this world in appearance, so that people do not find them strange. In this way, they will be tempted to eat it. However, the taste of the fruit in Jannah will be totally different. Allama Nasafi rahmatullah alayhi says that the verse refers to both the fruits of this world as well as those of the hereafter. The fruits of heaven will resemble those of the world in appearance, so that people do not find them strange in any way. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that the fruits of heaven and Jannah will only resemble those of this world in name. That is, the people of Jannah will recognize the fruits to be apples, pomegranates. However, the taste of these fruits will be much superior to the taste of the worldly fruit. Allah says in verse 70 of Surah Sajda, no soul knows what is in store for him in heaven. So some people have raised an objection by saying that if one accepts the first interpretation, it would mean that the people of heaven will receive only the fruits of this world. The objection is rather trivial because nothing prevents the possibility of them receiving other types of fruit afterwards, which do not resemble the fruits of this world. It is also not strange to believe that they will always be given fruits that resemble those of this world, because the tastes and pleasure derived will always vary. And then the third bounty mentioned in the verse is that the people of heaven shall have purified spouses. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu interprets the verse to mean that the women of Jannah will be pure without any impurity or offensive qualities. Sayyidina Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi says that they will be pure from menstruation, urine, excrement, mucus, phlegm, bile. And they will also not need to bear children, due to which there will be no afterbirth bleeding. Sayyidina Qatada rahmatullah alayhi says that they will be pure from harm, disobedience and sin. The gist of all these interpretations is that these women will be pure from anything that is offensive in any way. They will be physically and spiritually pure and will never disobey their husbands. Allama Bayadawi rahmatullah alayhi writes that the word purified has been used instead of pure. This indicates that someone made them pure. Allah, and it's Allah, with regard to the beauty of these damsels, Allah says in Surah Rahman, they are like rubies and corals. Another verse states that they are extremely fair in complexion, with large black eyes like treasured pearls. The fourth bounty mentioned is that fact that they will abide therein forever. They will not leave heaven, Jannah, nor will they ever be made to leave. Muslim reports from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that an announcer will proclaim to the people of Jannah saying, it has been ordained that you will always remain healthy and will never fall ill. You will always remain alive and will never die. You will always remain young and will never age. You will always remain in good stead and will never be impoverished. The bounties of this world are always tainted. Happiness in this world is always accompanied by grief. Illness always accompanies health, while flowers also have thorns, and wealth and status will always draw enmity and jealousy. The fundamental point is that all worldly bounties are transitory, whereas those of the hereafter are eternal. None shall ever have to fear that his bounties will ever be lost there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the various examples and analogies that is given in the Quran Majid. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُودَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. Verily, Allah is not ashamed to quote the analogy of even of a mosquito or something more insignificant. As for those who believe, they know that it is the truth from their Lord. As for the disbelievers, they say, what does Allah intend with these analogies? So the iman and the belief of believers strengthen with Quranic analogies, while the disbelievers raise absurd objections. So since the infidels, the kuffar, could not meet the challenge of the Quran, they opted to raise objections against the Quran to support their stance of rejection. So Sayyidina Qatada rahmatullah alayhi reports that when Allah cited the analogy of the spider and the fly in the Quran, the polytheists, the mushrikeen, scoffed at this, saying, what does Allah intend with these analogies? They meant to say that Allah's elevated position does not behove him to draw comparisons of such lowly creatures. Therefore, they argued that the Quran cannot be Allah's speech. So Allama Nasafi rahmatullah alayhi writes that when the analogies of the spider and the fly were revealed, the Jews laughed, saying that these do not resemble Allah's speech. By saying this, they meant to deny the authenticity of the Quran. So these people fail to realize that such simple analogies merely illustrate the comparisons. They do not reflect the status of the person making the comparison. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies to the objection by saying, verily, Allah is not ashamed to quote the analogy of even a mosquito or something more insignificant, for that or for that matter, even something larger in size. As for those who believe, they know that it is the truth from their Lord, and that it is perfectly applicable. As for the disbelievers, they say, what does Allah intend with these analogies? يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ Allah sends many astray thereby and guides many thereby. Only the disobedient one are sent astray thereby. Those who breach Allah's pledge after solemnizing it, who sever those things that Allah has commanded that they join, and who spread anarchy on earth, these are certainly the losers. Quranic analogies are a source of deviation for the disobedient ones. Allah uses numerous analogies in the Quran for man's guidance, but there are many who choose to object to them. Their rejection and objection then becomes the cause for them to go astray and lead others astray as well. However, the believing mu'min, they realize that these messages are from Allah. You find their belief in the iman strengthening over these illustrations. The kuffar, the infidels, increase their disbelief, their kuffar, by rejecting the Quranic verses. They are not prone to deliberation, thereby causing themselves to be misled by words of guidance. This is the unfortunate plight of all the kuffar, the infidels, including the hypocrites, the munafiqeen. Now we discuss the traits of the fasiqeen, the disobedient ones. Allah then describes who is meant by the disobedient ones, the fasiqeen. Allah says that they are those who breach Allah's pledge after solemnizing it. The pledge mentioned in the verse may refer to man's intelligence. Allah has granted man intelligence so that he may use it to recognize Allah and to worship only Him. The pledge may also refer to the pledge of Alist, as mentioned in the Hadith, where Allah extracted the souls of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam's entire progeny from his back. They emerged in small sizes like little ants, whereafter Allah asked them, Alastu bi Rabbikum, am I not your Lord? Qalu bala. They all replied in the affirmative. This incident took place on the plains of Na'aman, which is now in Arafat. This pledge is mentioned in verse 172 of Surah A'raf, where Allah says, when your Lord extracted from the backs of the children of Adam alayhi salam their progeny and called them to witness over themselves, saying, am I not your Lord? They replied, certainly we attest to it. So certain ahadith mentioned that after taking this pledge from mankind, Allah Ta'ala told them, I call the seven heavens and the seven earths to witness this together with your father Adam alayhi salam. You should not say on the day of resurrection, the day of Qiyamah, that you had no knowledge of this pledge. Remember that there is no deity besides me, and that none is my partner. I shall send my messengers to you to remind you of this pledge, and I shall send my books to you. The people replied, we are witness to the fact that you are our Lord and our deity. We have no other Lord, nor any other deity. The above verse could also refer to the pledge that Allah had taken from the Ahlul Kitab, the Jews and the Christians, to propagate the books that were revealed to them. Allah says in verse 187 of Surah Ali Imran, when Allah took a pledge from those given the book, saying, you must surely expound it to mankind and not conceal it, they then threw it behind their backs and sold it at a measly price. Evil indeed was that which they sold. The second trait of the disobedient fasiqeen mentioned in the verse is that they are those who sever those things that Allah has commanded that they join. This refers to those commands that apply to man's relationship with Allah, as well as those that apply to man's relationship with fellow men. Allah has commanded man to accept all the prophets, Anbiya alayhi salam, and also commands him not to believe in only some while rejecting others. The belief is contained in verse 285 of Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah quotes the believers, the mu'minin, is saying, we make no distinction between one and another. La nufarriqu bayna ahadin minhum. Also included in the interpretation of this verse is the need to mention cordial family ties and relationships with fellow Muslims with the disobedient fasiqin tend to sever. In short, failing to comply with any injunction of the Sharia is tantamount to severing ties with Allah, severing ties Allah's commands as well. In verse 20 and 21 of Surah Ra'd, Allah Ta'ala praises those who fulfill the pledge taken with Allah and do not breach the covenant, those who join that which Allah has commanded that it be joined. In verse 27 of the same surah, Allah says further, those who breach Allah's pledge after ratifying it, sever that which Allah commanded that it be joined, and spread corruption on earth, there shall be a curse, and there shall be misfortune in the year after. The third trait of the disobedient fasiqeen is that they are those who spread anarchy on earth. Included in the trait is adopting infidelity, kufr, polytheism, shirk, and hypocrisy, nifaq, rejecting the oneness of Allah, which is referred to as tawheed, preventing others from accepting the oneness of Allah, mocking at the believers, the mu'mineen, and those who stand for the truth, usurping the rights of others, stealing and looting, murder. All other forms of sins and vice are also included in the above. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the disobedient fasiqeen, they are certainly the losers. Such people think that they are successful because they have not compromised their material wealth by believing in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, that is Tawheed. However, they fail to realize the eternal damnation that awaits them in the year after. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase in our hearts the love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the longing for Jannah and the beautiful ni'mats of Jannah, of which the greatest ni'mah will be to see our beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.